again greet you here. In Jesus' name, it's been a blessing to be here today. I feel got to know quite a few of you today, and just sitting together and singing, and isn't that what we're going to be doing in heaven? Isn't that what we enjoy? And as one preacher said, you know, if we don't enjoy doing it here, then how are we going to enjoy doing it in heaven? So I guess that's a question for each one of us. Appreciated that message as well. I feel that was a very important part of coming to the end of ourselves and seeing our need, and then God can fill us, and along with the help of a brotherhood, so many times or so many ways that He can use other brethren, and God can work in our lives. For a text, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. So seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. To love each other. It says unfeigned love of the brethren. Another word might be unpretentious. Not a hypocritical show of love, but something that is real. We have a love for each other. And I'll say on the onset of the message that I certainly appreciate our Anabaptist conservative Mennonite heritage, and I believe here that we're preaching to a group of concerned brethren. And yet sometimes I'm concerned that this very thing of brotherhood, that maybe if we're not careful, we might lose the idea of brotherhood, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. As far as brotherhood, what is brotherhood? And I don't know what your concept of brotherhood is exactly, but we know from the Protestant churches, we find ourselves maybe going that way a little bit, is the thought of independence. And yet we know that we're not an island of ourselves. We're not something that we can stand alone. We need each other. We need our brothers. You know, of ourselves, we tend to become unbalanced. I find myself maybe out here on a wing or doing something. You know, I have my thoughts, but I love it when we can come together. We have brethren's meetings. We discuss things, and we can come up to a consensus, something that we can all agree on and that we can work together. It's not my idea. I do believe in biblical leadership. God has ordained leadership, but as far as, we need to have a vision of working together, and I think independence, and we'll talk about that later, but I think independence is something that directly militates against brotherhood. And one thought of being my brother's keeper would translate into a hedge of thorns. And it was a deacon meeting a while back that I was at, and this brother brought that idea out, that it's like a hedge of thorns. And I know in Haiti there was, they didn't have fences like they do here. They didn't have nice straight fences in Pennsylvania, especially, probably more so. You like to have a nice white or black fence or whatever it might be. But in Haiti, a lot of times it would just be a hedge. Maybe there would be, it was sisal or something that was prickly. And they would plant that thing in a row, and it would grow, and that would keep the animals in, or the animals out of their crops, out of their gardens, or keep them confined. And a little bit like a brother's keeper, a hedge to help, to encourage them. And you know, If we have a love or a concern for our brother, then I think we are. We will be, we want to reach out and to help encourage them. I want to go on now to the next chapter, chapter 2, read a couple of verses. Verse 9, beginning verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We're going to drop down here now. Let's drop down to verse 17. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So here we see it is a command from the Bible to love the brotherhood, to love our brother. And you know, sometimes we don't really love the hedge. You know, we don't love if something pricks us. If there's a hedge and we get against it, it hurts. And yet sometimes we need that. We need the hedge, that love and that concern from our brother. And you know, this morning I talked about that boat, and I thought about that later as other brother mentioned what was the boat, and I'm not quite sure myself if you could use that as a type of the church, because the church, the Bible says that the church will always stand, but somehow, yeah, the boat that went over. But you know, there was somebody on that boat, and he was concerned. One of the young married brother. His name was Johnny, so I'll just use that name, Johnny. Johnny was concerned about the other men on the other boys on that boat, because he knew some of them couldn't swim. And there's one boy in particular. He's a big boy, and he couldn't swim, and he was a little panicky, you might say. So when your boat tips over and you have somebody in the water and you have five boys floundering around, there's three life jackets, what do you do? Well, I think he handed out the life jackets to several of the boys, and several of them hung on to the boat, and they were okay. But you know, I don't think there would have been any question at that point that if someone needed help, we would say, "Can I help you? Can I assist you? Do you need a life jacket?" If we'd have gave them one, they would have gladly taken it and put it on, because they were out in the middle of, or out in, you know, in the Kentucky River. Sometimes when our boat tips over, we need help, but it's hard to ask for help. Or maybe we see somebody else, that boat, their boat has capsized, and yet we're busy, and we have busy lives, and we find ourselves not having time. We don't take the time to help to reach out to my brother. Are we looking for opportunities to give out life jackets to our brother? Yes, that's the... You know, sometimes, yeah, we're more concerned that maybe our business is going well, or that we don't want to step in somebody else's situation or to cause a problem. So, or we don't want to be ridiculed, or we don't want to be mocked, or we don't want to get involved. We just want to stay out of it. And yet, how much do I love my brother? And what is brotherhood? Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked that question way back there in the beginning. He said, you know, he says, Where's my brother? Who is my brother? Or God asked him, where is that brother? Sorry. And yet today, what does that mean? What does that mean? Where is that brother? And I thought of the account of the priest and the Levite, and I don't think we'll take time to read that. But, you know, that count where this man was hurt, and the priest and then the Levite came by, and they seen the man laying there. He was hurt, he was wounded, but yet They were busy. They had busy lives, and they didn't have time to stop. They didn't have time to help. But this Samaritan came by, and he had time to help. He had time to reach out. And you know, as you think of times and instances in your life, probably, we've all had those experiences in life when things have been difficult. It means so much when someone's willing to reach out. Well, John spoke of the several people who helped him in his life. You know, we can show the world and we can show each other Jesus in our lives when we're willing to reach out. When I'm willing to put my hand out. When I'm willing to give that life jacket to my brother. And not, you know, Johnny might have thought, well, you know what, I need one. I'm married and these other boys aren't married. I'll have to get the first one and then, you know. But no, I don't think, from what I understand, I don't believe he got one. I think he handed those out to the other boys. So we show the world that we love Jesus when we love our brother. So I believe that's the key to brotherhood, is to show our love by how we respond to my brother. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Actually, I'll just read that. I think we'll just keep on moving here. Don't want to keep you late. It's been a long day. I hope we can all stay awake. But like I said, I appreciated being here and getting to know you better. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's difficult for us. When we see each other, and many times we see, for some reason, we see other people's shortcomings. We see the needs that they have in their life. We see things that maybe they need to grow in. And yet, the Word would say we need to esteem them better than ourselves. We need to seek my brother's success. I need to seek what good for him. And you know, that flies in the face of our human reasoning and our carnal nature. We don't have to worry about being on top of the pile, maintaining our position. Humility is the opposite of pride. That's what we need to cultivate. Another one would be service. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Service. Serving each other. And you ladies do well at that. Thank you for that good lunch. But service. And many times we see the sisters are serving in many ways. And that's sort of their nature. My wife is the same way. She loves to serve. And yes, being out in Wyoming right now helping my daughter with the baby. That's when she enjoys it the most. And sometimes probably we men sort of enjoy it. Sometimes I think we like to be pampered. We like to be maybe just sit back and enjoy things. And I had to think, it was a few times that I've flown and got bumped or this or that. The other thing, ended up in first class. And, you know, we kind of enjoy that. We think, boy, this is really nice. This is service. Sitting in an extra wide seat and they bring you coffee and whatever, snacks and I'm not sure what all. And people are willing to pay to be pampered. But someone has to be willing to serve. Are we willing to serve? Am I willing to serve my brother, my sister? Let's not be a parasite, something that just goes along and sucks the life from something. But let's be willing to reach out. Get our hands and feet dirty. Get out and do something that is encouraging. I'm sure you all do. There's so many ways that we can do that. I think of the disaster response program. I was involved with that for a while. And it's been a blessing to see so many churches that come out. That has been such a huge blessing to many people. And I think those are the kind of things we can do. And we can do it in our home communities right here. I think you have a good opportunity. I came through a little storm last evening, and there was branches blowing down, and it looked like a barn was about ready to come down. I'm not sure what all happened there, but wasn't sure what all was going to happen here. And didn't know you'll have those storms in Pennsylvania. I guess you do. But, you know, that may be an opportunity for some of you to go clean up some sticks or help your neighbors. And, you know, those are things we can do. Be of service to others as well as to my brother. To reach out. Jesus calls us to a life of service. To be loving, kind-hearted, compassionate. And to reach out to others. Being unselfish. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we need to love the Lord, and then the second is Thou shalt love thy neighbor. And loving the Lord, probably we all know that, and even though that sometimes may be something that we work on or we struggle with, but our neighbor, now that actually shows my love for God comes out in my horizontal relationships. Or like someone said, the vertical relationship can't go deeper or higher than what my horizontal relationships with my brethren is. And so I think we got work to do, all of us. And you know, I had to think of, you know, maybe we're kind of like the babies, and they're probably getting a little tired of sitting. They've been sitting all day. But you know, we're born as babies, and when a baby doesn't get what they want, what do? They cry. There's usually something wrong. And if mama doesn't come quick, it can get real serious. You know, sometimes I wonder if we don't have a little baby left in us. We like to have it pretty nice. We want to be a little selfish, and we like what we want. But yet, we need to look past what my discomforts are, my needs, my happiness, what I want. You know, we need to reach out to my brother. Selfishness and brotherhood cannot coexist. We have to crucify that old man, that nature, that selfish nature that I have, that I want what I want. I want that biggest piece of chicken or the last piece of strawberry pie. It looks really good. You know, I need to crucify that. Think of forgiveness. Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. You know, we've been forgiven so much. God has done so much for us. And yet sometimes we want to hold on to these petty grudges and these little things that go on, that happen, that are just irritate us. Just make us a little irritable. And I remember as boys, children in school, we would have these arguments, and maybe you children still talk about those things, is this kind of truck better than this, or this tractor and this one, and you know, pretty soon all the John Deere boys would be here and all the international or whatever on this side, and you know, we could have a team, we could be divided on these little trivial things. And you know, Satan likes to put wedges between us, make big issues out of small ones. And you know, pretty soon us brethren can have these big issues, these small issues, and make them into big issues on something that's kind of trivial too. So I think we need to look at that verse again. It says 70 times 7. That means as oft, as many as something happens, I need to forgive. I need to forgive again and again and again. That's what Jesus taught us. Submission, accountability. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You know, that's a very difficult one too. Probably the hardest one. We battle with that one from the time we're a baby till we're laying in the casket. I'm sure if we'd ask the oldest brother here today or sister, I'm sure they would probably say we still have to deal with that attitude to submit. We're asked to submit to God, first of all, to the church, to parents, children, to the teachers, wives, to their husbands, and husbands to our government. And, we can never get away from it. Don't matter what our position is, we can't get away from subjection. We're always under that subjection. And yet, if we're not willing to subject, how can we have peace? How can we work together? But when we're willing to subject to each other, submit and be in subjection to each other, then we can have peace. And another thing I wanted to mention about was accountability. I feel like, and I don't know how you do it with the pilgrim churches, but accountability. I believe that we're accountable to each other. I know you're more of a conference, but you know, we are representative of our church wherever we go, 24/7. It's one of the things that bothers me a little bit. Sometimes some of our people, plain people, we go to Florida. We say, "Well, I'm in Florida." And I've heard the comment that, "Well, what goes on in Florida or what goes on in Pinecraft stays in Pinecraft." I'm sorry, but I'm here to tell you this afternoon that we are accountable to our, first of all, to God, and then to our churches all the time. And it doesn't matter where we're at. It goes with us. You know, the checks and balances of brotherhood can help us in many ways. Help us avoid mistakes. And I appreciate our brotherhood. And yes, sometimes there's different thoughts than maybe what I would have thought. But you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate when we can blend our ideas, we can work together, and to the glory of God. Am I willing to lay down my ideas for the brotherhood? I guess that's the thought I had here. You know, our carnal nature resists that. It wants what I want. But if I'm willing to say yes, I'll lay that down. And like the story of the man when the church got together and they decided to cut down a tree, and there was one older man there, and he didn't agree. He said, "No, I don't really agree. I think we should cut the tree down." But you know, come Saturday morning when they came together to cut the tree down, he was there. The first one was there to help cut the tree down. And is that our testimony? Is that how we are? Willing to stand together in brotherhood to encourage each other. And also communication. Communication is so vital. And again, I think this is probably something that the sisters do better than us brethren, is communication. Communicate with each other. And I worked with a number of situations when I was working for CEM there for a while, and we found that many times in communication, that's where things broke down. When we quit communicating, and us men, we tend to, well, at least in this kind of a setting, often it was a compound setting, the men would just kind of work, and we go home in the evening, we don't talk a lot about things and problems, we just sort of hope they'll go away. And a lot of times, they don't. And so we find ourselves, that we need to communicate. We need to talk about it. Put things on the table. Iron them out. And you know, what happens a lot of times when there's an issue, maybe it's in the church or whatever, and we know that we're on two points. I'm here and my brother's over here, and we don't know how to get together on this whole thing. And you can somehow sometimes use the idea of a seesaw. If you take the seesaw, and my brother's here, I'm here, so I want to stay out here to counterbalance him because I sure don't want to go that's going way too far this way. So we find ourselves coming further and further out to counterbalance my brother. Whereas if we come in, we can come closer together and we can work together and we can bring it here. But yet we find ourselves doing it this way most times. We find ourselves going the other way. And so if we can communicate, when there are struggles, when there are problems, restore and communicate. Sometimes as brethren, another thing we would tend to do is if there's an issue, we like to go into the cave, the man cave, and we like to hide out. And we think, well, I'll peep out once in a while and hopefully the problem's gone, storm's over, I'll come out. It doesn't work that way. You have to come out, you have to communicate, whether it's with brethren, whether it's with your wife, whether it's children or whoever. We need to communicate, we need to come together. It's the only way that we can restore is when we come together and communicate. Also, sometimes, we're maybe hurt by something that happened. But I think when we go in humility, when I go in humility, the other person will be much more open to hearing what I have to say. And then in Matthew 18:15, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So Scripture would tell us that, yes, go to your brother and talk to him about it and work it out. It doesn't say anything there about going and telling my neighbor and my other friends and discussing with them. It says, go to the one that trespass against you. So I think that's the key thing there, is that we need to go and we need to communicate with them. All right, a couple things that that hinder brotherhood. Independence. You know, in today's world, I don't know, I think some number of you mentioned, John was one of them, Brother John mentioned that he came from the Amish. But in the Amish communities, they live close together. They have horse and buggy, so obviously they can't travel very far. And so they live close together. And I think there's blessings in that. I think today we seem to like to find the most secluded places we can, as far away from each other, I guess. I'm not really sure. It's kind of the way we all enjoy that. And I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. But I think sometimes maybe it'd be okay for us to live closer to each other. And we can kind of be accountable to each other and see what's going on. And I remember we moved into... We lived in Ohio, by the way, for a number of years, and we moved into a community there, Newcomerstown, Ohio, and we moved right across the road from the bishop, and we weren't sure about that. I mean, how is this going to be? We're right out by the road, and we're living right across the road from them, and, you know, it really worked out well. They were super nice. My wife and his wife were good friends, did things together, and it was never a problem. I remember when we moved that we later moved to Tennessee, and she would say how she enjoyed having our children there, and she would hear them singing, and it was just we had a good relationship there. And I think sometimes if we can cultivate relationships and neighbors and do things together, that can help us. I don't think we want to be an island. And I know none of you do. But I don't think we want to be like an island where I do my thing and you do yours. But that we come together. We work together. We're willing to do church together. And as a brotherhood. Okay, let's not take brotherhood for granted. You know, it's kind of like a fragile flower. It's something that can be crushed by rough handling. So we need to be considerate of each other. We need to be very sensitive. There's times some of us are a little more careful. Some people speak quicker than others, and you know that. There's all kinds of temperaments in the church, and that's what makes it so beautiful as we blend together. There's all kinds of temperaments and people, and even among the ministry, we have to work together. But yet, we need to be careful, because someone who speaks quickly can hurt others. And so I think we need to be careful. The Bible talks about watching our words and being slow to speak. Are the joke is some something I say, is it hurtful to someone else? The other thing I had on the list here was apostasy. Apostasy. What is apostasy? I looked it up in the Webster's, and it says abandonment of one's religious faith, political party cause, or principles. Defection. So today, I'll talk a little bit about defection. What is defection? I think that's why we're here today. I think that's why you're here, because you're concerned that you want to work together. And I think that's one of the things that we're concerned about, at least we should be, and I think we are, is that we don't have a lot of defectors, people who are leaving the faith. And you know, it's not something that just happens overnight. It's not something that just happens quickly. But it's normally something that as things begin to deteriorate, something just starts to wash away, erode at the foundation, and eventually we find the building crumbling. The barn that blew down last night, or almost blew down, when I came past, the metal was blowing way up. I mean, it looked like the barn roof was going to come off. But I doubt if that roof just thought it was just right then pulled loose. It may have, but it was probably becoming looser and looser. And when I came past, it was a big section that looked like it lifted way up, and then it came back down. But it was totally loose. It's not fastened correctly. But it was something that was probably in the making for a long time. And so, yeah, we need to also, we don't want to apostatize. We don't want our children, and I know we're all concerned about our children and our grandchildren. And yet I was at a funeral in Ohio here a few years ago. It was my cousin's funeral, same age as I was. But you know, as I sat in that church house, I seen the casket up front. You know, it might have been okay just to have another casket up front there too, to symbolize the death or the defection of many who are leaving, who are dying, who have left the Mennonite or the Anabaptist faith. You know, the pressure of the world is strong. So we as brethren, we need to hang together. We need to encourage the weak. We need to, keep our young people. We need to work together so that we don't have this defection, people leaving. You know, sometimes I wonder, what's going wrong? What are we doing wrong? Have we done something wrong? And you know, I don't know. I don't know that we are. I believe we just have to continue on being faithful. I just think, as the Church of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage each one to just keep on, and let's not let the flame go out. Let's keep. As long as God gives us life and breath, I think that is our responsibility. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." You know, I think that's our responsibility, is to teach. And as this network, or whatever we want to call it, the churches, we have so much, and there's so many people out there in the world today that would desire something like we have, and yet sometimes we find ourselves just lightly giving it away, tossing it out, but that we would continue on and not so lightly just throw things out. True brotherhood is caring about others. And one of the things that our church was, we try to do anyways, is when a church gets a certain size, we consider doing an outreach. And I know your church does that too, and I appreciate that. Not becoming large to where we, I think that's another thing that can affect us, is when we get such large groups, we no longer, people can kind of slip between the cracks and slip away. But that we're faithful and as God calls us to reach out, to encourage our congregations. And when they get larger, then we move on. And I think that's what you're doing as well. I visited a mega church one time. I was in San Diego for some DRS work. And so we visited there at a large church. And it's just not something that, you just can't get used to that. Where thousands of people are sitting and they have a big screen in the front and you look at the screen, you can't even hardly see the preacher. And after church, you don't hardly talk to anyone because everybody is going and there's so many people. So let's just be involved in the lives of our children and as we work together. Skipping through a few things here. Again, going back to our text verse, 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And so I know I've said a lot in a little short time here, and I hope you can at least glean a few things. But you know, when we love each other, when we encourage each other, when we're willing to step out of our comfort zones, if I'm willing to put my brother first, care about him, that's what goes, that's what true brotherhood is all about, reaching out in those difficult times. And when things are tough, if we can reach out, if we can give them encouragement, those are the things that will make a difference in the lives of our young people, in the lives of our brethren. And I think that's what we want to do. So again, I would like to invite you all to come visit us in Dixon. We're not that far away. We're about central Tennessee, and we're right close to the Kentucky line, close to Nashville, actually. And so especially you ministering brethren, come visit us. And if any of you would like to come see us, we'll give you a place to stay. We're right there off I-40. And thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for the meals and everything you provided here for us. Ernest gave us a place to stay last night. Wish you the Lord's blessings, and I guess, yeah, I just encourage you all, let's be faithful. I think with the things that are happening, we see what's happening in the world, things that are going on, and even in our own country, unrest. Surely the Lord is going to be returning soon, but we don't know that. But let's be ready. Let's be waiting. And not only, let's not let these distractions, like we talked about this morning, let's not let these things hinder us or any of us, but that our little ones and all of us together, we can all be in heaven someday. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.
Lord, this evening we come to you. Thank you, God, for the many blessings that we enjoy here in this country. Thank you, God, for today and being able to be together here with brethren. Lord, we heard so much, and God, help us that we might be faithful. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to be careful, because we know that we have children, and if you carry grandchildren, more and more coming along, God, we want to honor you with our lives and in our congregations. So just bless each one of these congregations as they go back to their various communities, homes, wherever they're at. Guide us and help us all, Lord, to be a blessing, to be a witness, and to be a testimony for you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.